Welcome back to a new episode of Lo-Fi Lit. Today I talked to Kat Guadagno. They are a poet out of Philly. They used to edit a Philosophical Idiot, which was a poetry journal on the internet. And they have previously just published their third book of poetry, Thumbsucker. This was an excellent conversation. Thank you, Kat, for coming on. I just think this conversation was brilliant because a lot of the things that Kat thinks, the way that Kat thinks, is like how I think. And I've never articulated the thing. You know, a good writer, when they can articulate upon thoughts that you haven't even thought of, or you can't even, you know, do. Well, Kat does that. So, but I'm not going to say when and where. So, let's go to the episode. Just letting you guys know, I record like 15 of these, and I've gone on like 10, 20 minute monologues about random shit that have nothing to do with the episode. So that's why I keep these short and sweet. All right, talk to you guys later. Nice. I was reading a Philosophical Idiot.
Oh yeah.
Are you? Would you ever do another magazine?
So I've like tried to do other ones. Like I started Vanity. I started it in like 2020 or 2021, and then I tried to restart it. And I just like, I don't think I have like a consistent enough personality to do it. Like I'm just really inconsistent. I don't have a ton of follow through with stuff. So like, I get really excited about it. I accept a bunch of stuff, and then it just turns into like a chore that I have to do. Like maybe if I did something similar to like, I don't know, like there's some magazines where it's like, oh, they're just going to put out a call and they don't have an obligation to like come respond with a certain amount of time, or like what HAD does where it's like, hey, I'm going to be here for like these few days. It's like rapid fire, maybe, but I don't think I could start like another long running thing. I just don't have the personality for it, I think.
It's like the pressure of the unknown of the future.
Yeah, like I can commit to doing it for like a month. But then, and also like, you know, my mental health is sometimes all over the place, and like, you know, other stuff gets in the way, and it's like, I can't tell you what kind of person I'm going to be 3 months from now. So like, I don't want to commit to people, like say like, oh, I'm going to publish your thing. And I've like let a lot of people down in that respect too.
Like
and stuff where like people, like I accept some things, but it just turns out like I'm not moving forward with it, and it doesn't end up getting published. People are always really nice about it, but like it's just a bummer. Like I've had stuff that I've written or like interviews I've done and stuff that like just haven't come out for like various reasons, like the press falls through, or like, you know, the journal just like disappears or whatever. And it's like, you know, people work hard on stuff and they like want it to be like out there. So
yeah, I feel like if like that's why with the magazine, I really think the friend thing or collaborating with a group of people, that's the way to go. But like, if you have a group of people, if you don't, it's a lot tougher.
Yeah. Doing it by yourself is like, it's easier in some ways because it's really only like your decisions, but then like you have to make all the decisions.
Would you ever do one with Jan? Because Jan ran a magazine.
I think that we have like fairly different tastes though. Like I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think that like if I was going to do a magazine, it would be something similar to what Vanity was, where like I have a very specific, like, I don't know, like not that I don't appreciate other kinds of writing, but I have like a very specific vision, I think, of like what I think that like the scene is missing and what I feel like I'm doing. And like I kind of only really would want to care about that and like only focus on that.
So what do you think this scene is missing?
Like in like the most like oversimplified terms, I think like, I don't know, like actual sincerity. Like I think like the alt-lit style that a lot of people have like been influenced by, including myself, like sincerity is a big part of that, but like the way that like alt-lit has always functioned is that it's like the real life stuff that's going on in the scene is like part of it. And
yeah,
because everything's really online and it's all about like people interacting with each other and stuff, like there's like this lack, like no one really wants to say what they actually think.
Yeah.
And it's not that I think people are fake or that like you have to always be like showing everything, or you have to be, you can't have a persona. But I think that there's a lot of fear of like being like not doing something that's artful enough because you're not thinking about what you're doing as like a piece of art and you just want to express your feelings. And I think we do a lot of like dunking on people online over like, oh, this like poem's lame because this person's just like saying sentences and line breaks, which like, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out. But I think that people should be less afraid of doing that, and people should respect the attempt a little bit more, because that's like what it all comes back to. Like, that's why the initial outlet stuff had such like a big, like resonated so much with people, because it felt like it was like legit and not somebody like trying to have a certain like voice or style. And I don't know what that would look like now because everything's super online, but.
Do you think it's because like everyone's been in the scene so long and accrued some sort of identity or personality, they're afraid to try again or something, or like be or look dumb?
I mean, it's that, and I think it's also like, because again, it's like, it's so hard to separate what happens online, what happens at readings, from like the actual work. Like, I, when I was younger, I felt like, okay, I can just write whatever I want, because I didn't think anyone was going to read it, and so I didn't care. And then, you know, it goes through phases. So like, I went into college and I studied writing. I started to be like, oh, there's like things I'm supposed to be doing. And like, you get too many ideas in your head of like what everyone else is doing and like what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And then that stuff's in your head. And like, it, there's a period where like you have to like integrate that, decide which parts of it you like and which parts of it you don't. But now that we're all so online, it's like you're just getting pulled in so many directions, and you don't have that like innocence anymore to just be like, I'm going to do this because I care about it and I'm obsessed with it and it means something to me. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So it is pressure, but I don't think it's like conscious necessarily, where people are like, oh, I don't want to look weird. It's more just like, you know, influence can sometimes be like a burden.
Mm-hmm. So. Would you ever like to like make something that was not even part or associated with all, like you could get away and like be away from everyone else?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I think anyone can do that at any time, right? I think the reason that it's like such a seductive idea is because, you know, nobody, if it sucks, like nobody has to know about it. Mm-hmm. But then there's also that part of you that's like, but I want, like, these people are my friends, or like I respect them, and I want, like, now that I know I can have an audience, like I want them to be part of that, like, and to respond to it in some way. So it's like always that push and pull, but I think about it all the time. I've considered like changing my pen name entirely at certain points and just seeing what that felt like, but I haven't done it yet. So
wait, is Kat your, not your real name?
It's my real name, but I've considered like changing it to something else, or like just starting to write under a different name just to see what it would feel like. But I think I'm too interested in myself to like ever really do it.
So what did you learn when you went to college? Like, were you ever like a form person?
Not really. I mean, so I had like a really old school poetry professor who like, we never got to just like, we did workshops. We never got to just write what we wanted. He wanted us to like work under constraints and do things in form to like teach us how to do that. So I ended up writing like a crown of sonnets one time. We did some other stuff. And like, it was a really like formative learning experience for me, but like, I don't love writing in form.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like, I do think it's valuable to like know how to do it and like learn how to be creative under different constraints. And people who can do form really well, like, good for them. But I just, it's not something I'm interested in.
So are you glad that you went through that? Or do you wish you could have experimented a lot more?
I'm glad I went through it, because I was already going to experiment. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel stifled by it. And if I did, it was like I got angry at having to write a crown of sonnets and then what I ended up doing. So like the crown of sonnets, we had to also focus it on one character through the whole semester, for example. So it was like, I had to come up with this character and I had to just be committed to it for however many weeks. And I was really mad at having to write sonnets, because I was like, I don't feel like the stuff that I want to write about is like sonnet material. Yeah. And I was like, what character could I do to like basically like fuck with my professor and like do not what he wanted me to do? And I was like, oh, you know, it'd be funny if I did the character being like a phone sex operator, and then all of the sonnets were like innuendos and puns and stuff. But like, that's kind of what they wanted us to do. Like, I thought I was getting one over by like doing something interesting, but like, that's kind of, I think, what we were supposed to be learning, is to, you know, break outside of the box without always having to write about yourself and your own experiences, which is advice I have not taken since then. I mostly write about myself. But
well, yeah, I think all poets do. I mean, do you think they were trying to do like reverse psychology on you?
Not on purpose, but like, I think it wasn't so important that we learned how to write a crown of sonnets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was more important that, like, also like the detachment from the subject, like if everyone's bringing in their like baby that they're working on, that like they think is like their magnum opus, they're not going to take criticism on it.
Yeah.
But if you're doing something that's solely for class, and it's solely like a learning tool, and it's happening in a workshop, and you're not like going to run off with it and go get it published somewhere, you're more likely to listen to what other people have to say and like apply that later on, which I think helped me, because we all get so attached to like our own stuff, and we should, but
yeah. Did you ever publish any of those poems? I mean, those sound really interesting.
No, I thought about it in the past. So like, now they're old and I kind of cringe at them. This was like 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
I kind of cringe at them. I think they're probably a little like, I don't know how, not that there's anything unwoke about them, but there's something about somebody who's like not involved in sex work being like, haha, isn't it funny that this person's a sex worker? Like, it feels a little weird for me to publish them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be like, why are you writing about, like, what's your angle here, you know? So I would feel weird about publishing them, I think.
But, like, I mean, that, I feel like that's, like, most undergrads. Like, they're writing from an experience.
Yeah.
Now, was that for your bachelor's?
Yeah, I never got an MFA. I just have a BFA, so.
Have you ever applied for MFA?
Yeah, once I was finishing college, that's like what I wanted to do. I was going to apply for an MFA and like become a professor and like all this stuff. And I got into a couple programs, but I couldn't get into any that would like pay me, and I didn't want to take out any more loans. And I was like, oh, I'll take a gap year and I'll try again. And that's actually when I got more invested in like, you know, reading stuff that was outside of that like university press pipeline or like older stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh my God, you can really do whatever you want. And like, that's when, you know, I started working on philosophical idiot and all that stuff, and it just kind of, I never really felt the need to go back and try again, and now I really don't, so.
What programs, like, they don't, the programs that don't pay you, do you pay them?
Yeah, like, you pay them. The ones that pay you, it's like you're getting paid because you're, like, teaching.
Okay.
It's like some kind of stipend, which, like, you know, it's probably, you're still going to be in some kind of debt, and you're not going to be, like, living super comfortably, but you're not taking out, like, tens and thousands of student loans. And I was like, I can't do that. So I just like got a job and I just kept writing. And I mean, so far I like don't have any regrets about that. Mm-hmm. Although I think maybe I would have been like an interesting professor, but you know, those jobs don't really exist too much anymore these days anyway.
Well, sometimes people still like, they go to those universities and like, they don't end up becoming a professor.
Yeah. But that's really what I wanted to do ultimately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that part of the reason that's what I wanted to do, though, is because I just didn't have a good example in my life of people who had, like, normal day jobs who were, like, still writing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people who graduated from my program who would come back and, like, do, like, panels and stuff and talk about their lives since graduating. And all the ones that had, like, regular jobs were like, yeah, I just don't write anymore, like, once in a while. And I, like, didn't want that to be me. And I was really scared of, like, letting go of that part of my identity, I guess.
Yeah. Have you taught workshops, like Zoom workshops?
No, I haven't. I don't think I've ever even done one since college. No, that's not true. I think I've done a couple, but none like, no scene-oriented ones or anything.
Would you?
Do one? Like, one? Maybe? I don't really feel like I would be good at it because I'm not very good at commanding a room. Like,
well, I feel like everyone would probably be your friends.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fun, but I also, like, I don't think, I mean, I think I would do it, but I would never, like, charge for it, because to me, it's, like, I don't really feel like, if we're doing this, it's going to be hanging out. I would feel so uncomfortable acting like I have anything to, like, tell people that they can't just ask me in a DM, you know? I mean, other people do that and I think it works out well for them, but I have too much imposter syndrome, I think.
For real? You've written like 3 books though. You still have imposter? Does it ever go away?
I mean, it's like I have imposter syndrome now because I haven't been writing that much. I mean, I have, but like I haven't been publishing a lot of poetry. I've kind of just been like absorbing things. I've been reading a lot, blah, 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 but I haven't been like doing a lot of things that get my name out there. So sometimes it's like, why am I online talking about the scene and about writing when like, when's the last time that like I had anything new to show for myself?
Oh, you put out a book like last year. I feel like people that put out books, they wait like a year or two or three before like getting back into it.
Yeah,
There's
I
like
had like a
a
really
period.
crazy run. Like, I put out Bukowski's Ghost in 2018, put out a novel in 2020, and then in 2023 and 2024, I each put a book out. So I'm
Yeah.
definitely tapped out, but I feel weird about it because I also feel like with poetry, it's like I know that there's things I could be like polishing up and submitting, but I'm just like, I know that I'll get to a point where like I'm ready to do that again, but for now, it's like, I'm okay with being like a backseat person for the time being, although it does give me, a little bit of like anxiety, I guess, about what that's gonna look like when I come back.
Do you feel like an elder in the community?
Oh yeah, and then I feel silly because I'm 30, but I absolutely do. I get really frustrated when I don't know, like when I don't like not that people should know who I am because I'm like special or something, but it's like no, like I've been doing stuff since like, I mean, 2017, again, it's not that long of a time, but there's so many people who burn out or whatever. And it's like, no, I mean, I don't really keep up with my like website or my CV or whatever, but there's a part of me that's like, I was here for so long. Like, I've seen so many cycles of like, the scene changing and stuff. And like, I know what I'm talking about. And sometimes it's like, these kids don't know what they're talking about. And then I hate myself for being that person because I'm like, since when am I talking about these kids not knowing what they're talking about?
But like I remember like 2017, man, that was like eons ago. But that was such an exciting time too at the same time. Even though everything was falling out, it always seems like something's falling out and things
I
are
was thinking
breaking.
about that the other day, so I watched this like the I don't know how familiar you are with this, like the Meet Me in the Bathroom documentary that's about like the New York like anti-folk scene and then that transforming into like that like indie sleaze era, like it was like Strokes and a couple other bands were in it. And they're like the way that all started was that they were all like, oh my God, like this sucks, like no one's doing anything, like New York sucks, like it's all washed up, like whatever scene there was dead. And I feel like we're in one of those right now too. And like it's the cycle of that of thinking like, oh, like no one's doing anything. It's dead, and then something new happens, and new people emerge, and like in this case, like new magazines and stuff, and then eventually, like those things fall apart, and there's something to take its place. So I've seen the cycle go a few times now.
Who would you want to, maybe they haven't written in a while and you would love to see like come back, like really start putting things out again?
I mean, this isn't really like a great answer because I mean there's a lot of people where I'm like, oh, I feel like my taste has changed since like they were last writing. But I would like to see, I guess, not like he hasn't been writing, but like I posted this thing a while ago about like Noah Cicero and how he was like one of those guys. People have totally forgotten like who he is and that he's good.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm like he has put out, books pretty regularly. I would like to see, because he's not on social media and stuff, I would like to see, him get a little bit more buzz and like people to be discussing his work and stuff, because I think just as much as like Sam Pink and Tao Lin have like that sort of like matter of fact, like alt-lit kind of voice where it's like very not stream of consciousness, but it's very like off the dome sort of thing. I think he does that in an interesting way. And it's kind of like, I don't know, a little bit of what I think is missing is like in that work. And it's not, he's not really like part of the movement anymore because he's offline. I think it'd be cool to see him kind of get back in the mix, I guess.
You still in contact with him?
Like vaguely, I wouldn't say we're like friends or anything, but like I, last time I was talking about him online, he, oops, sorry. Last time I was talking about him online, he like messaged me and was like, hey, I like have a Google alert that like comes up and I saw you were tweeting about me, like, thanks, that's awesome. Like, you know, we talk like once a year or something. I wouldn't say we're like friends, but
yeah. So like if you did a magazine, like you published it, that published them, would that excite you?
Oh,
would
yeah.
Get you back into like,
oh yeah,
shit, I guess.
I think I'm kind of bad too at like keeping track of what people are doing. Like the one thing that I miss about being an editor was like, it's really easy to keep track of what people are doing because you just have to sit back and they'll send it to you. Like you don't really have to like read everybody's book and like know when it's coming out. You just sort of like collect writing and you get to read it and then you get to do something for other people. And like now it's like, you have to seek stuff out. And if you just don't happen to see that something's happening, like you miss it, and it's like impossible to like buy everybody's book and read it. So
I bet it'd be easier though if you did try to start something, even if you thought you'd be disinterested later, because I bet you would get so much excitement from people to put things out. It might like drive you.
Yeah, you're kind of like the devil on my shoulder right now, because there's always like, there's so many benefits to it, and at the same time it's like, at the end of the day what matters is like, I don't want to be another person who like is scared to open their email, you know, like I know that I've been that person before and I don't want, you know, I don't want to let people down, but it does also help with like not feeling interested in writing, because again, like it's pretty like, you know, the I don't know, like the threshold is pretty low. Like you don't have to like pick up a whole book to get something. I'm like, yeah, you can read other magazines, but again, you'd have to seek them out, and everyone's so like wrapped up in their own shit and on their phone and blah blah blah. It's like you can literally just open your email and have like the 20 most talented people you know like sending you stuff and like hoping that you'll publish it. It is a really cool feeling.
And then you could also like bring on like younger writers and like kind of, you know, take them under your wing.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I think, not that they need me to take them under their wing, but it's cool when like people get genuinely really excited about getting published, because I think a lot of people take it for granted, like in our kind of circle, like everybody has like a book out, and but like that's like a really exciting thing.
Yeah.
Like I remember the first time I got like something accepted, it was to, well, the first time I got something accepted, it was to Thought Catalog, which the piece is like no longer on there for some reason. Like
is
I
that
have
around to, still?
Thought Catalog is, yeah, but they publish like I think like listicle type stuff now, and like I had the link bookmarked to my piece that was on there, and like doesn't work, but like can like way back machine it, I guess. But like I remember being so excited and being like, oh my god, this is such a rare thing, which like it is, because most people aren't gonna put themselves out there like that. But now it's like, you know, it's almost like there's like an entitlement to it. Like I don't think like when I send stuff out, I'm not like, oh, this is a shoo-in, like I'm gonna get it published. I got rejected by HAB already, like, you know, twice this year. But like you feel like it's like more possible, so it's like more of a letdown. When before it's like you just feel so grateful that someone's paying attention to your work.
How do you think your work differs from like your first book of poetry?
Well, I think I was trying to like find, you know, my voice, my thing. And so there's like some stuff in it that is like close to what I'm doing now, but it's like I was trying a bunch of different things out. So there's stuff that feels like it's written in somebody else's voice completely. There's a couple poems in the first book that are like, they don't sound like academic, but they sound like I already had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I didn't think it was poem-y enough. So I had to like do all this other stuff with it. And I think I'm trending toward doing less and less of that.
Yeah. What do you mean? Can you like specify?
Yeah. So there's this poem that I had, like I wanted to write about this very specific like feeling of like you get to know somebody and like you get really like intensely like close to them, but then like nothing ever really comes out of it. And I was like, I didn't want to write that as just like the story of what it was like, because I had this impulse of like, oh, like no one cares about like your feelings. So I like had this really overwrought metaphor of like you go into a cave and like there's like this voice in the cave, and it's like cool, but that's like not actually what I wanted to do. Like I think it's a good poem, but it's like I had to construct this whole like metaphor and like make it seem more important than it was, because I didn't want to be like, you know, at that time, like a 23-year-old girl, like talking about just like relationships or whatever. And now I'm just a little bit more comfortable doing that, I think.
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah, you want to like heighten every detail and make it seem like very like literary important.
Yeah. And I think it can work, but like I wasn't happy or satisfied with it because I didn't feel like I actually like accomplished what I wanted to.
Now, do you think you could shorten that into like two or three words?
What do you mean?
Like, could you take something, because you're writing, because you've written for so long now, could you take something like that where you had to construct it over like a few stanzas or something, and you could construct it into a much smaller thing?
I mean, smaller than that poem, yeah, because that poem was really long.
Yeah.
But I think like I'm really interested in writing shorter poems. I think other people are really good at doing that like mic drop thing.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of learning how to do that, but I definitely could shorten it, or at least make it not so like riddle like. I think it has to do with the way we learn poetry too. Like I think that people learn poetry in this way where it's like, okay, we read the poem, now what does it mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do all these images mean? And they all have like a specific meaning instead of like, how does it make you feel? Or like, what is it actually saying?
Yeah, I noticed in Thumbsucker, like a lot of the poems, they're very conversational.
Yeah. And like, that's also a thin line too. Like, you're always kind of dancing between, you don't want to like be flowery just to be flowery. But like, you also kind of want to, or I'll say, I kind of want to sometimes show people like, you know, I am like working with like everything I'm doing is like on purpose. It's not like I'm just writing the first thing that comes to mind. It just sounds that way because those are the words I chose. So it's always like a fine line between not wanting to like be like capital P poem. I don't want to do the Instagram thing that everyone makes fun of where you're just like, you know, you loved me, like line
Yeah.
break, but I didn't love you, and like a picture of a peach or whatever, like, but like, you know, somewhere in between.
I was reading your essays on Substack. You're talking about like Tame Impala.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I did the deep dive, and I was gonna do a part two, and I never did, which is a great example of, you know, me not being able to finish what I start when I have a good idea.
Could you ever write a Tame Impala song?
Could I write a Tame Impala song?
Yeah.
I actually feel like, you know, even though I'm a poet and like I write my own songs and stuff, I feel like that Tame Impala is one of the artists I like where the lyrics just kind of suck ass. Like, I don't think
Yeah.
their lyrics are that good, but I could write a Tame Impala song for sure.
Yeah, what would it sound like?
I mean, what it
Tame
would
Impala.
sound like, I would probably just like reverb the shit out of piano and put some like machine drums over it. But like lyrics wise, it's pretty straightforward.
Oh
Like,
yeah, I forgot you like you do po you you play the piano.
yeah, it's actually behind me in
How
the
long have you been playing? When did you start?
I was 7 when I started.
Damn. Did you
But
hate it
I'm
at
not,
first?
what was that?
Did you hate it at first?
I didn't. I actually really wanted to take piano lessons. The reason I asked my parents if I could take them is because this is embarrassing. I had like a lot of friends, like other girls that were in my class at school, and they were all doing like sports and dance classes, and I was like not interested in that stuff. And I would just like sit at home and I would like call my friends all day and like ask their parents if they were home and like talk to them, and they were always busy doing their stuff. And I was like, oh my God, everyone has stuff to do. I want to do something. And I just happened to see like a brochure or something with like a girl playing the piano on it. And I was like, yeah, that'll be me. That'll be my thing. And you know, all these years later, I'm still doing it. So
Did you wait for like the school directory to come out every year?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I had my friends' phone numbers anyway, but
Oh,
I
okay.
always like, I feel like I probably spent more time looking through it than other people did for sure.
Yeah, that was like a distinct memory for me. Like every year I'd be like waiting for that school directory to come out, 'cause like I could find out everyone's phone numbers and like start calling random people and trying to hang out with them.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of miss like calling people's houses, and then like there was like a lot of like buy-in. Like you had to be like willing to like talk to someone's dad if you wanted to call them.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I remember I used to do like three-way phone calls. Like I figured out how to do like, you know, get people on like a three-way call. And we would like, my friends and I would like call like people we had crushes on with like our friend like silently on like the third thing, like listening
Oh,
to the
wow.
conversation to like see, you know, to like suss it out and be like, so like, what do you think? Like, does he like me or whatever? Or like one time I had my friend call somebody that I liked and ask him if he liked me while I was like silently on the line.
What'd he
The answer
say?
was no, obviously.
Ouch.
I was just like heart. I was like heart. I'm really in third or fourth grade. It's like I was like totally heartbroken, and then I tried to call back myself, and the mom was like, "Oh, he's not here right now." I was like,
Wow.
"Oh, no."
Damn. I never figured out how to do the three-way, but we like the boys, it would be like a star 6-9. You could like get away
yeah.
with like not having your number show up or some shit.
Yeah, so like speaking of phone sex operators, when I was a kid and I first got, when I was a kid, I was like middle school, I guess, I first got a cell phone and I thought it would be funny to just start typing in random numbers. And I was like typing in like random phone numbers that had like basement letters that were like, you know, like sexual stuff, and then just like listening to like the thing and like laughing at it and thinking it was funny. And then like the phone bill came and my parents were like, "Why are you calling like whatever it was, like 1-800 like boob 69 or whatever, like what are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't know, I just thought it was like funny." And I wasn't like staying on the line for them to like charge me, but they like saw the number come up and I was just like, "I don't know, like wanted to see what would happen, I guess."
How much did they get charged?
I mean, I think you get charged like a certain number of cents a minute, but that was just for like a normal phone call. That wasn't like, you know, I stayed on the line and was like talking to someone. I would hope that if like a kid called, they would just like hang up on you, but
yeah. Did you ever get in trouble for anything worse than that with your parents?
I mean, not really. I got in trouble a lot, but it was mostly for like having a bad attitude and stuff. Like I didn't really do anything wrong. Like I was a pretty good kid. I got good grades. I like didn't stay out late and stuff, but I got in trouble for overcharging the phone bill, usually through texting, because that wasn't like unlimited at the time. You had to like, you had like 200 texts a month and I always would go over it. And then it was like just having a bad attitude and like being whatever, like talking back to my parents. That's what I was constantly in trouble for.
Did you ever curse at your parents?
No. I still feel weird cursing in front of my parents now. Even though like I curse like a sailor in the rest of my life, I feel really like my parents will curse in front of me and it's like totally normal to them, but I just feel so weird. It feels like I'm like, you know, being like so disrespectful, even though like we're not that traditional of people.
Did you ever have a moment when like you're a kid, like and like you start like smoking cigarettes?
No, I never did anything like that. I didn't drink or smoke or whatever until I was in college. Like I was a really good kid, mostly because like, you know, my dad would pick me up from wherever I was at. So it was like, well, I didn't want to be like, I just like had no faith that I could get away with anything. And my friends were also like nerds and pretty good kids, so there was really no like opportunity for that stuff.
Did you guys like play video games and stuff?
Oh yeah, that's most of what we did. Yeah.
What games?
Most of what we did was we'd sit in my friend's basement and I would usually be like on the mic while they would be playing games and I would like fuck with people.
You were on the mic?
Yeah, like I would be like on Xbox Live fucking with people while they were playing like, you know,
like Uno or something.
No, they'd be playing the game, but I'd be on the mic. So they'd be playing like, you know, whatever it was at the time, like Modern Warfare 2 or whatever, and I'd be like talking to people. Like,
I remember Uno being like so popular with everyone. Like I don't understand that.
Uno, like the video game Uno, or like card.
Yeah,
Uno?
Like it would be on Xbox Live, and it would be Uno, like the card game, and you would sit in a room with someone else, and they would just, it'd be like a electronic cards.
I've never heard anyone playing this.
I think it was like Xbox 360. It was very strange.
That's really weird. I have like this one memory of like, I forget what game it was. It was like some shooter game. And I was on the mic and there was like a kid, like a younger kid than us playing. Like we were like 14. And like he was like, didn't know what he was doing. And he was like scared. I remember like talking him through it. And he like, "Okay, like we're going to like hide like behind these crates or whatever. And like you're going to be fine." And like that's like my one wholesome memory of playing online games, when usually it's horrible and it's like people saying slurs at you and shit. So
yeah, I remember the Uno thing. I would sit on my bed because you could see the camera of the other person, like what they were doing. I'd sit on my bed and just like rock back and forth and try to make them think I was like weird or something, and I would watch people come in the room and then leave the room once they saw I was like rocking back and forth. Yeah, I kind of fuck with people. Did you ever steal anything?
No. Not on purpose, anyway. I'm sure I accidentally stole something, but no.
If you could murder someone, how would you murder them?
If I could murder someone,
Yeah.
how would I murder them? Well, like, is there a chance? Like, am I trying not to get caught, or does it matter?
You're trying not to get caught.
Okay, well, if I'm trying not to get caught, I don't know. I feel like there's all those, like, stupid ones people say online where it's like, oh, like, you stab someone with ice and the ice melts. And it's like, I don't know if that would work. I haven't really put much, I'm not a very, like, not a very violent person. I haven't put much thought into it. But I think something like that, I would not fuck with any possibility of getting caught.
If you had unlimited money, how would you do it?
How would I, if I had unlimited
Murder.
money, how would I murder someone?
Yeah.
If I had unlimited money, I'd probably pay someone else to do it. Yeah.
Would you ever go into politics?
Would I ever go into politics? No, I think I'm pretty as far into politics as I want to be. I also don't think I'm like, I don't know. I think that I've become a little bit too pessimistic about the world and people to be in politics. I think you have to like want, you have to like really believe that like the world can be a better place. And like, I don't know that I'm there right now.
Or you just like want power.
Yeah, which I don't know. I feel like if you want power, there's like easier ways to get it. If you don't want like real like world money and power, I mean, I think a lot of the reason some people in the scene are in it is because they want power. And I think that writing is secondary to that. Same with music, same with any creative scene. Much easier way to get a bunch of people to, you know, worship you, and then you don't have to be in politics.
So what poet did you like first like find very inspiring and like, oh, I want to get into this shit?
I mean, I think I started writing poetry when I was younger, before I really like knew like anything about it. Like, I knew there was poetry, like I knew there was like, you know, old poet, like I'm like, oh, like Shakespeare, like Robert Frost or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started writing poetry, it was kind of just like me in like middle school just being like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then the first poet that I got like really into was Bukowski. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Cause like, he like says fuck, and he's like mad about the world, and it's like not in the form, and it's awesome. And then when I got into college, I started reading a bunch of like, I don't know, like 20th century poetry. And I got really into, specifically, I got really into Stephen Dunn, who I think he died like 2020, but he's like kind of slept on. He's like, you know, I don't know how you describe him. Like, he's not super confessional, but he's a little bit more like matter of fact. And he has this like philosophical bent to his poetry, which I also kind of think Noah Cicero does too, but he has this like philosophical bent to his poetry where it's like, he's talking about like big questions about the world and death or whatever, but it's like through, I don't know, like through mundane confessional stuff. And I ended up doing a workshop with him when I was like between semesters in college. I went to like a writer's festival in New York and I did a workshop with him. So he's been like a huge influence on me.
Nice. What do you say about your writing?
I mean, he liked it. I mean, I think they have to say that, but I really wanted him to like me. So I like the way that, so basically I won this like poetry contest through my college, and then I got to go to this festival up in Chautauqua, New York for free. And he was doing a workshop there, and everyone got to like have a few things discussed in like the big workshop with everyone. And then you also got to like bring a couple things like to him directly. And the thing I brought to him directly is like this poem that never got published anywhere. And it was like kind of cringe because I wanted to like, I felt really insecure because I was like one of the youngest people there. And I wanted, I'll just put it like this. I wanted him to feel like I was like a mature adult woman. Okay. So the poem that I submitted was very like, I'm a woman, I'm an adult, I fuck. Like, it was so embarrassing. And, but like, he thought, he like took it seriously and he like gave me good feedback on it. I still have it in a notebook somewhere. And like, he engaged with the other stuff I sent in like really seriously. And, you know, I think a lot of his like philosophy on writing is like stuff that I've adopted. And also I think some of it was like stuff that I just kind of felt was true before he had even said it. Like, not just because he said it, but I was like, yeah, like this makes sense to me. So I think his influence has been more on that than on like specific things I wrote. But
like, what did he say? Like, what's some things you took?
So he has this idea of like, when you're writing, you should like surprise yourself, I guess. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to write a poem about this topic, and this is going to be like the end thing you should take out of it. You should write about something and be trying to understand it while you're writing about it. And like, mm-hmm. the ending of a poem should be surprising in some way to you. Mm-hmm. And like, I do that a lot in my work. Like, I don't always know where things are going. I don't necessarily have like a take. I think that my poems are better when I don't have a take. And just like leaning into that a little more, like being willing to make the poem about a question or about not understanding something versus like wanting to be definitive about how something went or like how the world works or like what other people should do or feel or think and have to be more of like an exploratory form of art, I think really speaks to me.
So how do you know when you're done?
Usually it's like when I'm done with a poem, like I don't do a lot of like revising and editing. Like when something's gonna go in a book, I do. Like at that's the point when I do. But like my process is usually I start writing something on my phone and then eventually it graduates from the phone to like a Word document. And I feel like once it graduates from the phone to a Word document where I'm like everything that's there is like I'm probably gonna keep it in there. That's kind of the point where I start to like lock it down. When it's in my phone, it's like in more of like a notes phase. And usually what happens is it's like there's like the workshop cliche of like, oh, you actually have two poems here. We actually have three poems here. That's usually what happens. Like a bunch of stuff doesn't make the cut, and then it's like five, six lines from my phone that graduate, and then I build something around that, and it's like that's when it feels done, I guess.
How can you tell when there's like too many poems in one poem?
I think when I don't feel like I'm, when there's like things that feel unresolved, and not because like it's just like a, not in like the it's still a question way, but when it's like, oh, but then there's this thing I wanted to do more with this, and you don't feel like you use everything to its potential. Like sometimes I write a poem because I want to just like use this one image really badly. When there's a lot of those in the same poem, it's like, well, you don't have to do everything here. Like you can do this in the next poem. You don't have to like use this image and say this thing and use this word all right here. You can break it up.
Now, do you journal too?
I used to journal a lot, not so much anymore. I'm trying to get back into it
Does
because I feel like, sorry,
it help you with like writing poetry?
I don't really know that it has. I feel like I kind of use them interchangeably. Like if I'm writing about what's going on with me, I don't feel like writing poetry that much. It's like I just need like some outlet, and the outlet is kind of what changes, I guess.
So the poetry is like a sort of a language for you.
Oh yeah. I think that's like my way of like understanding time and like how my life is progressing and like how I'm doing. And that's why like when I'm not writing a lot, I feel kind of like I don't know, like not sure like what's going on with me or like my identity doesn't feel like super together because it's like I need to like use poetry to figure out like you know, not who I am, but like who I am in that moment. And then also the poetry kind of like informs that too. So it's like a really important like relationship I feel like I have with myself.
So if you had never published any books or done the magazine, do you think you'd be like more mentally messed up?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I probably would still be writing. I'd probably be a little bit more bitter about writing and being a writer because I think, you know, it's just after a certain point, it's like you write because you're communicating and you want an audience. And I think I'd be really broken up about that. But I think I would probably still be just as messed up. But maybe I would think of myself differently. Like there's, you know, not huge revelations, but just like parts of myself that I've like kind of managed to like dig up by like approaching my writing in a certain way. And like I'm making that sound like it's like this really big deal, but I'm talking about like fairly shallow stuff.
Like what?
But so like when like Thumbsucker was coming out, the whole like persona that I feel like I had built around the book was very like I'm like, you know, like I don't want to say I'm a baby because there's a baby on the cover and that's not like really what I mean. But like I'm, you know, I'm like emotionally stunted and like that's just how it is. And I grew up this way and I'm like dealing with that. And these are my feelings and they're juvenile and that's it. And it was like a way of embracing that. And it was a way of embracing it that didn't feel like it was like taking away from my confidence in any way. Because it was like a persona that I had chosen. Like it was like, okay, this is like a part of me that I'm like in control of, as opposed to like feeling ashamed about it.
Did you like the I was watching the Misery Loves Company launch reading, and like it brought back a lot of memories for me. I was like, oh my God, this was such an amazing thing that was happening. Like, I really miss it.
Yeah.
So watching like Calvin and Will and everyone's so happy.
Yeah, I really miss it. It was like a huge part. Like, I kind of was a latecomer to MLC. It was like 2023 and 2024 when I was like really there all the time. And I was like really surprised at how much of a difference it made in like my writing process and like just how optimistic I felt about being in community with other people. And like, you know, I was hearing a lot more people's writing that I would have never probably read or like, you know, just been exposed to. So yeah, I mean, I really miss it. I feel like that book release reading too for me was like such a huge culmination of like a lot of stuff that was going on in my life at the time. And it's still like, I don't think I could even watch it now. I feel like I would get to, like, my best friend was there and she read the whole thing. It was like, man, like, I don't know. It was only like a little over a year ago, but it was like such a different time.
Yeah, it was like so different. It's like people just drop by the wayside. They just stop coming on the internet and like vibe shift. It's like you have to grieve them and mourn them.
Yeah, and like you never know what's going to happen. Like people can come back.
Yeah.
Something else will take its place, but it's never going to be like exactly the same again. Mm. And I think there was definitely like a feeling, or maybe this is like me looking like hindsight is 2020, but I think there was a feeling that like, you know, that it was like, okay, whatever's going on right now is like special and it's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And it like really means something. Which you don't always have that feeling. Like sometimes you're just like, oh, this sucks. Like this part of my life sucks and it's boring. Like I definitely feel like everyone knew that they were involved in something special.
How did you meet Calvin?
Calvin, you mean?
Calvin, yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't know Calvin Wester that much, but you know.
I've been up for like 2 days straight, so.
You're good. It's kind of the same answer either way. Like, I think, I mean, I published him on Philosophical Idiot when he was going by like a different pen name, I think. It was like Provolone Sinatra or whatever he was using back then. But like we weren't like friends or anything. I think we started actually talking in like the Neutral Spaces chat that they, I don't know if it's still up there. There's like the chat that anyone can just jump in. I spent a lot of time in there. And he was in there. At the time I was like kind of friends with Zach who was in there. And like, I just kind of got, you know, I got to like talk to a bunch of people just by like jumping out of that chat. And I was like working like a freelance writing job at the time. So I was like kind of just like on my computer all day. And I just like spent, you know, a lot of days just like kind of fucking around in that chat with people. And then at some point, like we started texting each other and now we've been like pretty good friends for actually, you know, quite a few years now, which is crazy. But
what did you guys talk about in the chat?
Honestly, the only thing I can remember us talking about is Taco Bell. Like, I'm sure we talked about like writing related stuff, but like, I have this very specific memory of us like talking about Taco Bell and like getting everyone's Taco Bell order and like just like talking about like mundane stuff, which I think is like what really makes like friendships in the community like happen. Like all the time it's just people talking about their writing and like sending links and like promoting themselves, and you don't get a lot of, you know, I'm not usually in like the big group chat, so I don't get a lot of that. So that's like my main memory, is just talking about mundane stuff like what you're gonna eat for dinner or whatever.
You should start a group chat. There's so many fucking group chats on Twitter right now.
I don't know that I want to start a group chat because then I can't leave. I guess I could leave.
Well, like, you're not part of any of them.
No, I mean, I like the idea of group chats. Every time I've been in them, I've been either gotten overwhelmed by like notifications and just left. I'm in like the bizarre publishing house like God Pussy group chat. That's like the only big one that I'm in. And I usually don't say anything. Like I'll say something like once a month, or I just like it feels like you're always interrupting people.
Yeah.
Like it feels like if you just want to like start a conversation about something, you're just kind of like, hey guys, here's my thing.
Yeah.
And then
people ignore you.
Yeah, and it's like also just like they're huge hubs of like drama. Sometimes I feel better just like hearing about it from other people rather than being involved myself. I used to be like so much more of a shit stirrer, including when I was in the Neutral Spaces chat, but I don't really see myself that way anymore. So.
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, I used to like, especially when we were doing all of the like, you know, right wing call out stuff in like the late 2010s, like I was like, you know, like Terror House and when everyone was like, you know, the whole controversy about that. I got into it so bad with, I guess it was Matt Forney or whoever was running that account, that like they bragged that I had blocked them in their bio for a certain point because I was constantly just like trolling and harassing and torturing people. And I thought it was funny. Like, I guess I thought like, you know, these people take themselves so seriously and they don't want you to know that like they're connected to all this like really horrible stuff. And I'm just going to keep like reminding people. But now I just think about that and I'm like, that seems so exhausting. I don't think I could do that now. And I don't really regret it necessarily, but I also don't think it was like as radical as I thought it was. Like, I think I was like, yeah, like people are gonna like see. It's like everyone already knows. Like, the people who care aren't like doing anything with this press anymore. Like, people who actually care about this aren't. I think I got into like a beef with Misery Tourism like around that same time because I think we were just on opposite sides of one of those like, I don't know, like arguments where like they were like, yeah, like free speech, and I was like, fuck free speech or whatever. And I thought that Will and Rudy hated me for years because of that. They didn't even like, you know, it wasn't even like on their radar really, but just goes to show.
How did you get over that hump? Like, isn't that kind of like a, there's like a bit of a fear of like you're against someone, but then you come over kind of like not to their side, but like you, there's a gray area you have to kind of walk through.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you exactly how it happened. I got invited to do a reading that was like a tie-in with MLC. I think it was Witchcraft Mag maybe did a reading with them, and I was like, sure. Like, I basically agree to like almost any reading that I'm asked to do. And like, I was like, sure, I'll do it. And then I was like, oh wait, I don't know, is this gonna be weird? But I did it anyway, and I was really surprised at how like chill and like, I don't know, like how encouraging like the vibe was, and like, you know, like Will's commentary on everyone's piece, and that like everyone's writing really got like treated seriously and paid attention to. And then I just started coming like in general just to like be in there because I just liked the vibe in there, and like I would occasionally read, and then it started to become like a regular thing. And then at some point, I mean, like Will and I were really close at a certain point, so then I was like, okay, well, like now it's like all these people are my friends. And so it was kind of gradual. And I think if I hadn't been invited to do that reading, I would have never like tried going in there. And other people had been like, no, like I think you would really like it. Like, you should pop in. And I'm like, I don't know. All these people would like hate me and like call me like a woke SJW and make fun of me. Like, nobody has ever done that. I don't think anybody has ever made fun of me for being a woke SJW since like 2018. Like, I don't think that's happening. So.
That was pretty, I feel like, I wouldn't say near the end, but that was pretty later on the Misery Loves
Yeah.
Company.
Yeah, it was like maybe 2022, but I think 2023.
That's when they started first doing the kind of crossovers.
Yeah. I think that was probably like one of the first ones too,
Yeah,
because
that it
I
was.
wasn't even really sure what it was. Like, I was just like, oh, I guess this is like part of this other thing, and I just was kind of down for whatever because I wanted to read, so.
What book did you have out then?
I think that Tell Me You've Earned It had maybe just come out,
Okay.
but
Wait.
I remember I read whatever pieces that were in that Witchcraft Mag issue that I was in.
So you know El Nash.
Yeah, I mean I know her, I know of her, I've spoken to her, but
Okay.
again, I wouldn't call us like close or anything, but
Did something happen? I think we talked about that.
nothing. Oh, something happened with that issue of Witchcraft Mag, which is that I just didn't like. She just, I mean, she totally just forgot. It wasn't like a beef thing. She just forgot to put my poems in the print issue. So then later when, so
Oh,
like
for
later, like
real?
then she like published them on the online issue and like made a whole big thing about it because they didn't make it in the print issue, which I was like really happy that she, you know, paid a little bit of extra attention to them. I think that might have been why I got invited to like do the crossover reading, because I just kind of like didn't like I didn't get sent the print issue, and I emailed her and was like, hey, like what happened? And then she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she was like super apologetic, and you know,
Oh, did you take it personally? I probably would have.
I didn't take it personally, but I did feel like maybe I somehow like my instinct was that I somehow like was looking in the wrong place, or I had misunderstood what happened. Like, maybe I wasn't supposed to be in the print issue, and maybe there was like some other thing that like they were doing, and I just thought maybe I made a mistake, and I felt weird about emailing because I didn't want to be like, what about me? And then be like, yeah, you weren't ever going to be in this. But like if something like that happens, I mostly just think I did something wrong. So I was probably like, oh, I'm sorry, but am I supposed to be on the thing? Like,
Now, I was wondering, I think it'd be cool to hear you like interview other people like Elle Nash or like Carmody Brady or like Eli, I think their name is Kennelly.
oh yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've never even considered interviewing people. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think I would want to listen to that.
I mean, I appreciate hearing that. That's cool. I mean, I've literally never considered that before, so.
Would you interview Elle Nash?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if she was down, again, I'm kind of like, if people are down to talk to me, I would do whatever, but I don't know. I'd have to brush back up on our work, though. I think the last thing of hers that I read was Animals Eat Each Other, which was like one of my favorite books that I read that year. It was amazing, but I'm not like super plugged into what most people are doing, honestly.
I think people, you can chat with them and it doesn't have to be a promotion or it doesn't have to be about
No.
their latest work.
No.
I feel like
I'm
you have
not.
a lot of experience that you can relate to people with that are like, I've been around.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I don't know, I think my main struggle as an interviewer would be to not talk about myself so much. Because I really like to talk. It's hard for me to let other people talk.
Well, a lot of interviewers do that and
That's
still
true.
get good interviews out of them.
That's true.
Because you've done a lot. Like you did a Clash one, you did one like Riding with the Rapids, you did one with Will. You've been on a lot of interviews.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I mean, even when Thumbsucker came out, I pretty much went down the line and asked any podcast I'd heard of or ever been on if they would have me on again, and most of them agreed to either have me on or have me on again. So
Yeah, you went on the self-exposure one, and I thought you
I
were a
went on. I
really
think I went on twice actually on self-exposure.
yeah, you're a great co-host. I thought you should have been like the main like a mainstay.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I love talking to Sabrina. I felt like. But that podcast is so interesting too because she ends up recording it in the store. And so like there were like other people coming in and like her stopping the podcast to like speak German and like talk. Like something about the ambience of having like it happening like in public where like there's other people coming in and she's talking about like whatever crazy shit we're talking about and she's like, hold on, I have to go like sell something to this like old couple and the store is like
I love that part. Like she would just like stop it and then she'd go like speak German and then come back and sit down like it was no big deal. Like I love that part of the
Yeah.
podcast. It's so interesting to hear like you're kind of like a voyeur at some point.
Yeah. And also wondering like, what they think, I guess.
Yeah.
Jan and I were just talking the other day about MLC and how like sometimes trolls would come in, but like sometimes people would just come in like trying to troll, but they would just like be confused as to what we're doing. And like we would just like make up whatever shit, like, oh, this is like a whatever like support group for whatever, and like just it's interesting seeing what people like think who like have no idea about who any of us are or like why we're all here or like how we know each other. I think one time we asked, there was like a kid, it was like at the after party, we asked like, hey, what do you think this is, like what do you think you're like, where do you think you are right now, what do you think you're like barging in on? And I forget what they answered, but it's like the most interesting question you could possibly ask, I think.
Yeah, there was like one kid, that kid like stayed and it was weird. It was kind of cool, like just some random person that came in and I think they came in the next week and then like left after that.
I don't know if that was the same kid that had like he was like talking about his life and he had like a really hard like home life and like yeah, I don't know if that was the same kid or not, but I remember that too.
And I'd stay up to like 2 or 3 in the morning with these people, and like sometimes random people would drop in. It was a cool, weird time that like there's nothing that's ever gonna be like that again.
Yeah, and I was like myself, I was going through like a really weird time in my life where I was like really lonely. And like for me, it was like, I was never going to go out on Friday night. Like I was never going to be busy. So it was like I was always there. And I think like it meant a lot to me to just have something to do where like I would talk to people and like it would, kind of fill up my social battery for a little bit.
Earlier you said Jan and you have like different tastes. Like, do you ever try to introduce a writer or like that you're reading to Jan?
I mean, no, I feel like, I mean, I talked about stuff I'm reading. I've like sent poems and stuff, but we also have a lot of overlap because we know all the same people. I just think Jen is a lot smarter than me.
For real?
Oh yeah. And I think that I have like a very singular focus on like I want more people to be like whining and complaining about, themselves and their relationships. Like I want to see people navel gazing and like I have a kind of like one track mind when it comes to those things, and it's really hard for me to like expand my palette at times, whereas I feel like he'll read anything and he's always bringing home like vintage books that he like doesn't even know like what they are, but he just like wants to have them and read them, and like I'm so not like that at all, which is like why I admire it so much, I think.
He has like ADHD OCD. Like he gets very excited about like something he'll see on the
Oh yeah.
corner. What's the wildest thing he's brought?
Not since, I mean, he didn't bring this while we've been living together, but he has two copies of the Book of Mormon. I think one of them is like antique and like somebody else. Like you don't even have one, and they're like both nice. Like they're not like they're like both nice, like leather bound, I think, copies of the Book of Mormon, which I think is crazy.
Now, is he trying to become a Mormon?
No, he's just really interested in basically just reading anything he can find. And it's really funny because we have our bookshelves set up in the living room. So there's like two bookshelves that are mostly my stuff, and then two bookshelves that are mostly his stuff. And when I show you that, you can tell, like, because like mine are all like colorful, like all lit, like the Malarkey Book Club like stuff. And like there's like no variety, which I'm trying to get a little more variety, like expand my horizons. And his is like there's like philosophy and there's like religious stuff and there's there is some alt-lit stuff and there's like sci-fi pulp stuff. Like I'm just I would love to be a little bit more like that and have my hands in kind of all kinds of different stuff. So
Now, is he finishing these books or does he like read them halfway and then stop?
I mean, I think he reads most of them. I don't most of them he had before he met me, so I don't know, but I'm also really bad at finishing books for the record too. I don't really beat myself up about it though.
Yeah.
I feel
Does
like if
he?
I don't finish it, I'll finish it
Yeah.
later, or life is too short to read a book you don't want to finish. So
Does he ever go on like on a rant about something that he's excited about?
yeah, I mean we both do that. I feel like that's most of our relationship is both of
Yeah.
us being overly excited about stuff and talking for hours and hours, so
What's the last thing he's got like went off on a rant about?
I don't know. I don't keep track of these things.
Oh.
But,
Wasn't like yesterday?
it happens at enough of a clip that it's pretty regular that we both are. Sometimes it's me, like I think the last time one of us really went off on something was actually me talking about this anime manga that I like and how the story is actually told in a really terrible. Oh, so this is something. I was joking the other day that we both do this thing, or like if we really like something, it's like we really like this like piece of media, but we talk about it like so much and like to such an analytical degree that it's like you start picking out like flaws in it, and it's like you're talking about this thing that you love, but like if someone doesn't know you any better, you sound like you like hate it. So like for me, I'm talking about this like Nana, this like anime manga that I like, but like the way the story is told, it's like there's like two episodes in the beginning and then this annoying flashback that doesn't make any sense. But it's like I'm analyzing it so much and picking out all the flaws in this thing that's like a huge part of my personality that I enjoy, but I'm just like it looks like I'm just tearing it apart because I just every detail gets examined basically.
It's because you're so passionate about it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So how is it part of your personality?
So like the story is it's like about these two women that they're both named Nana, and they end up like moving into this apartment together because they met on a train and they have the same birthday, but it's like very like one is has this personality, one is another personality, and it's one of those like will they or won't they, like is this are we queer baiting, like, and then a bunch of shit happens and they end up in relationships with men, and the story never got finished because the artist who was working on it has like some kind of health issues and never finished it. But I think the way that I feel about that story and the way it's told, and not just like the queer stuff necessarily, but the way that it's about like being in your early adulthood and like not knowing what's going on and like being aimless and stuff, it's like I don't know, it just like speaks a lot to me. And it's like the whole backdrop is that the one of the characters in a band, and it's like about music and, you know, being a creative person and like trying to make it. And yeah, so
is it part of it that it's also being unfinished? Like, there's a alluring quality to that.
For sure. I mean, people have like every few years there's rumors that it's gonna get an ending, but you never actually know if it's gonna get an ending.
How would you finish it?
How would I finish it? I would want to see them get together, I guess, but I would have to be like, you know, I think they're still in like their late 20s, early 30s by the end of the story that exists now. I think it would have to be like their whole, like, they have to go through like a bunch of shit and like find themselves or whatever, but I would like that the story was kind of like, I don't know, like reminiscing on that whole period, and then it ends with like present day and they get together or whatever. But
have you ever written fan fiction?
I've written fan fiction, not for that. The fan fiction I've written, I think all of it has been Degrassi fan fiction.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I wrote a lot of that.
Like what?
It was Degrassi like lesbian fan fiction.
Nice. I think that's how a lot of queer people like start to express themselves, like through fan fiction.
Oh yeah, I actually got, there's like a freelance writing job that I got when I was between semesters in college that I applied for the job. The writing sample I sent was part of Degrassi fan fiction that I had written. And I was pretty proud of that.
Have you ever tried to publish it?
No. I mean, it was like on fanfiction.net, and it was like, it's pretty like, you know, I'm not embarrassed about it, but it's pretty like, you know, erotic, like, you know, hardcore shit. And I got really scared because I was a teenager when I wrote this stuff. I got really scared that the username I used for the account was like too close to my name. People were gonna find it. And so I like deleted everything because I was like really worried about it. So none of it exists anymore. Like I don't even still have it, but.
But it got you through like that writing. It probably like made you feel confident.
And like I think fan fiction's great because like I've always wanted to write more like fiction and write more like stories, but I don't think I'm a very like imaginative person. Like the one novel that I've written, like I'm not really concerned with like creating characters or like building a world or anything, right? Like I want to talk about feelings and ideas and images and like just people in general. Like the main character of my novel doesn't have a name. Like I don't care about what someone's name is and what their job is and what they look like. And if you're just like learning how to write and you want to play with that stuff, I feel like fan fiction gives you like a kind of ready-made like canvas to work on.
Yeah. I think that's better though, that you focus on the small singular like details kind of like that. Cause I think if you go too big, then it becomes over too much and you can't write a great story.
I did fiction workshops in college where like everyone else who was doing the workshops was like writing their like, you know, sci-fi fantasy opus. And they're like, this is actually like a chapter from like book two of my like series. And I know exactly where everything's going to go, and I can picture all the characters in my head. I just, like, don't view writing that way. Like, I know a lot of people do, and they're really talented, especially, like, genre writing and stuff. But I'm not like, oh, my little characters, and I move them around like chess pieces in my head. It's like, every character's me.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, like, parts of me. I'm just using them to, like, make a point or, like, explore an idea. And I would submit to these writing workshops, and in class, they'd be like, yeah, we don't really know much about your character. Like, you never, like, describe them. And I'm like, because I don't care. Like, it's not important to me. I don't also have, like, a very visual mind. So, like, when I get those details in a book, I, like, they don't mean anything to me because I'm not picturing anything. I'm not, like, repeating an apple in my mind. I'm just, like, not that kind of person. So,
I totally know what you mean. Do you have that thing where, like, you can't picture something in your head?
I can, but, like, I guess when I'm reading, I don't, like, see it playing out like a movie in my head. Like, I feel like other people do, and I'm just like, oh, these are, like, words on a page. Ooh. And, like, if I'm thinking about an idea, I feel like I'm thinking in words, and I'm thinking about words. I'm not thinking about, like, images or, you know, anything that's, like, more abstract. I'm a very, like, words, like, verbal-oriented person, I think.
No, I totally know what you mean. Sometimes I, like, if I can't like get into a book, I have to physically like, okay, I'm going to think about this in terms of like a visual way. And I try, like, I have to force myself into it.
I think I also just like don't, I mean, I pay a little bit more attention now as I've gotten older, but like when I was younger, it's like I just didn't pay attention to stuff. I was like
Yeah.
very in my own head. So it's like really hard to get me to like focus and like imagine something. Like, I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to like how people looked or what they were wearing or like I wasn't like focused on that kind of stuff. So it would be like, oh, she has her like the way that people write fan fiction where it's like, oh, like her long brown hair was like cascading down her shoulders. I'm like, okay, like
Yeah.
I don't really know what this is be picturing.
So, wait, I had a question that I was going to ask, and then it left my mind. That had to do with novel writing. Oh, yeah, wait, no. Would you write a book of essays?
A book of essays? Yeah, I actually considered. I started one years ago about they're like essays about the internet, basically. There was one about like some of them were like about like things in my childhood, like growing up on the internet and that kind of stuff, and some were like more conceptual stuff, just about like the internet and social media. I think I would probably do something like that because it's just like even though it's like a cliche to be like online and writing about the internet, I feel like it's like completely. Everyone thinks that they understand the internet in a different way than everybody else, and I feel like I would like to explore that a bit more. But I was like halfway through it, and I just, I guess I just didn't have anything else to say, or I kind of just lost steam, but I've definitely considered
Would you write about Cabin and like talking to him about tacos?
it. Maybe I would find a way to shoehorn it in there. I think I'm trying to think. I wrote, and like I have other essays on Substack that I started, but then I feel like. When I publish stuff on Substack, it's usually if I don't like finish it the same day that I write it, it's like it's never gonna get finished. Like I have stuff
Yeah.
in my drafts that I'm like, it's just to me, it's like a venue for just like one-off, like here's what I'm thinking about, or like stuff that I don't feel like publishing, or like I just want it to like kind of be somewhere so I can show it to other people.
Are you someone that like when you're like, I'm gonna do a series, I'm gonna have these four parts, but then you like don't finish
Yeah,
that?
I mean, there's a series on my Substack that I did that. I got up to like where the climax of it was gonna be, and then I like never wrote it and I never finished it. And then I started the Tamhalla thing, and I do intend to finish those at some point. But I think the thing that's nice about it just being my own thing, and like I don't like no one's gonna be like beating down my door asking for it. So it's like I can, if I feel like one day picking it back up again and finishing it, I can do that. It's like it's never like too late. So.
When you write an essay, do you focus on the things that you focus on when you're writing poetry?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more like, I feel like with poetry, like I said, I'm a little bit more like, I don't know exactly what I think about this, and I'm writing this to like figure it out. Like these aren't even essays necessarily. It was like creative nonfiction. I was writing this like series on Substack about like this group of friends I had in college and like this like weird relationship I had with all these guys that I used to like sort of live with. And I had like a very distinct like this is where it's heading, this is the point I'm trying to make, and so it was like very calculated. And I think that's generally how it would work for me. Like I'm trying to make a point. I have something that I want to say specifically, and I'm like building up to something.
It'd be interesting if you tried to like remix where when you try to write poetry with the things that you write, like, but you did it in the essay.
Yeah.
It would be
And
more,
mostly.
maybe a bit more structureless, but I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I think sometimes like with I've started to write essays about things and I realized I just wanted to write a poem about it. Like I think it did happen that way. I just never finished the thing I was trying to write. But sometimes I think you like need a structure to like get yourself like figure out what you're thinking about and then be like, oh no, this form isn't gonna work at all. And I've done that a couple times with different things where I thought I was gonna write this like big essay that was going to be like this huge deal, then it's like, oh, I really only needed like a 12-line poem for this, and that kind of serves the same purpose.
What did you think of the thing that I was trying to do with you and Jan and Graham
I
in the
thought it
chat?
was cool. I wish, like, I don't know. I'm again, my follow through is terrible, so but I like the idea of like getting to see writers in like a less like again like less structured sense, or like it's not necessarily an interview, you're just getting like a snapshot of what it's like to talk to them over like a period of time. Kind of reminds me of the of those like features that they do usually about like musicians, but like famous people, where it's like they're talking about like hanging out with a guy for a day, and it's like, oh, like I was at a bar and like this guy ordered this drink, like something more like that, where you're getting to know parts of them that like you don't get to know if you're just like asking them about their work or something like that.
But I liked how Michael Washington, he made it like everyone like wrote a poem over like the course of a week.
Yeah.
I love that. I was like, man, if I could like pull that off, like I could make that into like a mini magazine or something.
I've always considered, like, I don't know how familiar you are with like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants thing.
I don't know.
It's like a YA like girl book from when I was a kid, but like they mail, like the whole conceit of the book is that they mail this like pair of pants that like magically fits all of the friends. They mail it around the country to each other and they write each other like letters. I always thought it'd be cool if you like mailed, I don't know, like a book or like something around and like had everybody just kind of riff off of each other. Like not continue like one story, but just like if somebody felt like just writing like their fucking Taco Bell order, then that's what would be in there. If someone felt like writing a poem in there, that's what would be in there. And just kind of have it be like free form like that. I always thought that'd be really cool.
I think
30 West tried to do something like that. And I think it got lost in the mail because it was like trying to ship it internationally and it just got dropped. But yeah.
Yeah, I thought about doing that with like a recorder, but then I think
that'd
they're
be really cool.
And like have people record and then it becomes a podcast. But I thought like maybe there'd be too many instructions to like show how people would have to.
Yeah,
do it.
I don't know. I feel like most of us are like fairly tech savvy though. Like I feel
yeah.
like we'll figure it out. You were at Reunion Poetry last year when they had like the phone booth thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like something like that basically, but like mobile.
Have you ever tried to set up like a festival?
No, I don't even know where I would start. I mean, I've set up like I've helped people set up readings, but I've never like done it all myself. So I don't know.
So if you could have like anyone at a specific reading, who would you invite?
I would love. I know this is like a really annoying answer, but I would love to do like an MLC like IRL like reprise thing and like somehow get like, you know, everybody. I don't know how you could get everybody, but get like everybody together and. It wouldn't be the same because it wouldn't be online, but it would just be cool to like have everybody together and like just see all the people in that room and be like, yeah, we were like all here and we all like contributed to this thing. And there have been like some, like there was a reading at KGB where there were like a lot of MLC people either reading or they were there. And that ended up being really cool to just see everybody in the room. But like Will and Rudy weren't there. And to me, it's like, I feel like they need to be there and see
yeah.
like how many people are here and know each other and writing what they're writing because they've created a space for that.
I was saying I think everyone should go to Rudy's house, but Rudy was saying his house is too dirty to do that.
Yeah, but it'd be cool to do that. I considered like, I don't know, if we did something like that, like it wouldn't be right unless everybody was there. I don't know how you'd
yeah.
get everybody there, but it would be pretty cool to have everyone in the same room.
Have you been in contact with Will at all?
Yeah, we're friends still. We talk, we text. We're not like as close as we used to be because he's not super online anymore. But yeah, we're still cool. We still talk.
But like, what's going on with him? Is he okay? Like,
he's just not super invested in like being an online person. I think it kind of burns you out after a while. He's a pretty private person, so like, I think it's hard to have like a public persona when you don't really always feel like you're like when you're introverted, you don't always feel like being that guy. So.
I
think that's a big reason why like MLC went on hiatus and why he's like not super online anymore, and like it seems to be good for him to like
yeah.
be, you know, have kind of his own bubble and not have to, you know, get on the mic no matter how he's feeling and be like the host guy every week. So I mean,
yeah, that would I was thinking about that. I'm like, that would get so stressful. Like I could only do that for like a week and then I'd be like, I'm never doing this again.
And like I'm, you know, it was, they rarely took time off. Like, it was like,
yeah.
you know, him or Rudy would be like sick or like whatever would be going on, they would still be doing it. And it's like, I don't know. It's easy for me to like bail out of shit. Like, I would be canceling it. Like, there's at my job, there's like a call, like a meeting that I have to run every week. And like, I always find a reason to cancel that shit. Mm-hmm. And like, that's for my job that I get paid to do. I can't imagine.
Now, is there any inkling of him ever, like, coming back?
I mean, I'm sure he'll come back to the internet at some point. I mean, I don't really know. I know better than to bug him about that. I'll put it like
yeah.
that. But I don't know. I think that, like, you know, whatever he ends up doing, I hope that it like takes into account his like limits as a person. He doesn't burn himself out. Like if there's a way, I don't know if this is what's going to happen, but if there's a way to like have something like MLC or have something like Misery Tourism that isn't so taxing and that is like more sustainable for him and for Rudy and for, you know, while still being like good for the community, and that would be awesome. But I think that that takes time to figure out, and I think that it doesn't, I don't know what that would look like because I'm not him or Rudy, but
or just like schedule it once a year or like a one time.
Yeah, I can't imagine how wild it would get if everyone held back yeah. all year to just show up once a year, but even like once every like few months or something would be cool, I think.
Is he writing anything?
I don't know. I mean, we don't really talk okay. about that much. It's usually like, you know, here's a photo of my dog. Here's, you know, whatever, like sending stupid crap from social media to each other. That's kind of it. But I mean, I'm guessing he's writing or reading or something.
It's good to hear that he's like being social though.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Have you ever tried to contact Unity?
No, I was never really like, I think Unity and I kind of missed each other. Like, I think when Unity started going off the internet, I was like kind of getting more into that circle. We just never really overlapped in any way. So I, you know, all I know about him is kind of from like just seeing posts online and like by proxy, but I've never had contact with him.
Did you ever talk to Iris?
Yeah. We weren't like super close, but we had like a couple weeks where we were really close because, you know, we had, you know, not totally similar stuff going on, but like relationship wise at the time we had similar stuff going on, and we were really close for that short period of time, but that was way before anything happened. I think that was way before MLC was even a thing. It was like pre everything. And we actually ended up getting in kind of weird beef over like expat and Manny and stuff. And I think we like we hashed it out at some point, you know, by the end, but we weren't really that close after that.
What happened with Manny? Like some beef?
It was like some scene drama shit. And like him and I used to have a huge problem with him, and we actually, you know, ended up squashing that beef, you know, years later, actually last year. So it was just like some petty like scene stuff. And like when I think about it, it's like, you know, it sucks that like you kind of like cut ties with people over like petty scene drama, and you just don't realize like how like valuable like it is to like keep the community together and like, you know, not let that stuff get in the way, I guess.
It's cool that you though are able to squash things, because a lot of people don't, and they just let things fester. They just completely ghost.
I mean, I'm, you know, the Manny thing took several years to squash, and mostly it was because I think we got into some Twitter like argument over like quote tweets in like 2018. He didn't know who I was. And I just didn't like him after that. And I was like, I didn't like buy any expat books. I didn't support expat. I didn't follow them. I got really annoyed that people loved them so much. And then I started to like soften my stance on it because like a lot of people whose writing I respect and like who are really nice people, like have worked with him and blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up meeting him in New York, and I didn't think he even knew who I was. But as soon as he saw me, he apologized for this like shitty comment he made like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And like that is like integrity to me, like that you actually remembered the person that you said that to, and you thought of me and you apologized like immediately. That's like so cool to me. So,
well, that was nice.
Get points for that.
Yeah, I sometimes I feel like I'm with expat. I guess it's the way that their site looks, and then I'm reading a poem about rape or something, and it's just like I don't want to be on this right now, you know, and I stay away from that place.
You gotta have like, I think you gotta have like a certain palette, and like I like stuff that's edgy, and like there's a place for it, but there's a part of me that's really like, you know, on like the sensitive lib thing where I'm just like I can't always go there, and you know, that's I think part of why I let myself be like keep myself so sequestered from that and like from MLC, because I just felt like it was all going to be like that, and I just don't have the stomach for it all the time. So
yeah, but then I'll talk to someone like Derek, and like they're so up on expat, and like they're so, he's so very like good friends, and like, well, maybe they're not so bad, you know.
Yeah, I think that, like, you know, everything's like, it's hard because we're in this like scene where it's like we're not like professionals, you know, like we're all just kind of doing things the way we figured it out along the way. And so like people make like professional missteps, like in terms of like what they say online or like how they run their press and like how they run their journal or whatever. And it's like I feel like we hold them to a standard as if it's like they're like the real deal or whatever. And it's like, well, this isn't the New Yorker. Like the guy that you're mad at is like a guy who's like running this out of his Gmail account in his apartment or whatever. And like, yeah, you should hold people to standards and like for their behavior especially and like their politics and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like people grow and change and you know, I am not the same person I was in 2018 and I've definitely fucked up in running every venue that I have been involved in running so far. And so it's
What do
like
you
you just
mean?
have to put that in. I mean, philosophically, if there's like, you know, I don't actually don't even know if the site is up anymore. But I don't really have control over that. But like the fact that, you know, we disappeared for months before just like kind of quietly shutting it down. We had also like wanted to put more books out and we had like been talking to people about putting books out and it never happened. Like vanity, like letting it kind of dry up, like stuff like that. It's like everybody, you know, there's stuff I regret about like the way that I've like handled myself professionally, and I think everyone probably has things like that. You just have to like kind of remember that we're all just like stupid, uneducated, and bad at handling ourselves in those kind of contexts.
What's vanity? You brought that up several times.
Oh, it's this like online mag I started and then restarted a couple times, and like the whole premise is basically like I want like navel gazing writing or whatever. You know, the site looked great. I published a lot of really good stuff, but again, I just didn't have the stomach to continue doing it. And I think there's some stuff that was like still languishing in the inbox forever. And like I know like Josh Sherman is one person where I was like I told him I was gonna publish, you know, part of his like auto portraits, and I never did the second part because I just kind of fell off and like stuff like that. I don't like people leaving people hanging, so
Did you ever get excited about publishing someone and then you you didn't want to publish them when it came time to publish? I guess. I don't know.
no, I think the turnaround on that stuff is so quick most of the time that like something really crazy would have to happen for me to be like, oh, never mind. Like, and most of the submissions I got through Vanity were like people I already knew. Like people whose writing I already knew. It was a very like small scale thing. So it wasn't like I was getting a lot of like unknown stuff or like people that I didn't know anything about, I guess.
Have you ever written zines or chapbooks?
No, I mean, again, another chapbook. I started a chapbook, ended up publishing the poems across different books that I had. There's a chapbook that I had written, and all of the poems were Jaden Smith's lyrics, or no, not Jaden Smith lyrics, Jaden Smith tweets.
Oh. Have you?
And like some of the prose poems that are in Bukowski's Ghost are actually those. And then some of them I think made it into Tell Me You've Earned It. I don't think there's any in Thumbsucker, but I ended up just breaking the chapbook up and using them elsewhere.
Why Jaden Smith?
I mean, there was like that whole thing, like the, you know, how can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real? And then because of that, like, tweet, I ended up finding like this genius annotated page of like just different tweets of his and people interpreting them. And then I went even deeper into it. And I was just like reading his Twitter and like, I just think the tweets are interesting because like I can't like tell what he's talking about, but it makes them like interesting jumping off points for writing. And I think a chapbook is like a pretty, it's like a good like venue for something like that where like you're not gonna do a whole book of it, but it's like an interesting experiment. So that's kind of how it started.
And would you ever have do you have an LP?
No, I don't have an LP.
Are you going to?
I have two songs that are kind of like languishing in production hell right now, which I think is going to be like a double single or like maybe part of an EP, but we have to finish like the last. My friend and I are producing, have to finish the last of it. So that might come out at some point this year. I don't know. It's looking like maybe next year at this point. But hopefully, I mean, I would love to put out like more music, but the production stuff is kind of what holds me back because it takes time and technology and expertise that I don't have, so I kind of have to like pull in other people for that.
What's the production stuff like behind making a song?
I mean, I don't, I think the way that I've been doing it with my friend is kind of like, is kind of thrown together, but basically I have the song the way that I think I want it. And then we did a little bit of workshopping on like timing and like certain things, like just the piano and vocals part of it. We recorded those parts, got them solid, and then we started thinking like, oh, I guess since we're like recording it, we can add other stuff to it. So we brought in a couple other friends on one of the songs to like do like backup vocals on it in certain parts. We have a guy on drums for both of them. We have a guy on bass for both of them. So it's just been slowly like adding and layering things. I think if you have like a band or something, it's a little bit more like straightforward, where like you just kind of know what parts are gonna go in and how they're gonna go in. And now it's more like, okay, do we want, what effects do we want here? Like, do, how do we want it to actually like come together and sound? Which I'm like not super well versed in how any of that works. So it's a lot of like vibes based for me, while like my friend does most of the like, you know, actually fixing things and changing it. So
That sounds exhausting.
it is, but it's really fun, and it feels very like, even doing like the most DIY like lo-fi shitty, haha, lo-fi,
Yeah.
like shitty like production on something, feels like you're like in the, you're, it feels like you're like the fucking Beatles like in the studio, like, because you have to like listen to everything a million times, and you're like eating bagels and like you're just like tired, and it just feels like a lot of hard work. Whereas like I think sitting by yourself and like editing a book just kind of feels like you're doing homework sometimes. It doesn't feel like you're like really putting in work, but like being in the room and like collaborating with somebody else and like making a whole day out of it feels a little bit different, I think.
That's how a magazine should be like. Would you do one with that, your friend of the band? A band magazine and a band CD?
Maybe. I think that'd be interesting at least. I think it'd be cool. I think I've never really tried to like collab with anyone writing wise, which like I don't know, I've just never it I've never been that interested, but maybe someday.
What write, if any writer you could choose to collab
I don't
with, like,
know. I mean, I don't really feel that interested in collaborating, but I feel like it'd be cool to just throw it out there and see who would be interested. Even if they were interested in like a combative way, I think it'd be cool. Like, even if they were like, hey, I think you suck, like let's like write against each other, I think it would be
that's
really
a
cool.
great idea. That's a great title too. Hey,
That
you
is cool.
suck.
Hey, you suck.
Okay, do you
There's
want to?
well, there's some people that I know think I suck that I think it'd be really cool if we collaborated. I don't think that would happen though.
Can you read one of your poems from your book, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah, I'll open it up on my email because I don't have the book in front of me. Just give me a second. Which one I want to read. I'll read the title poem, I think, because why not? Okay, this is called Thumbsucker Poem. Fuck me, I guess, but I want everything soft and full of kittens. I want to step out and romp to the car on cushy pink clouds. That feeling of late afternoon on a Friday, my freshman year of college, eating Oreos while the older guys left to buy beer, bottled sugar delivered to me daily by a puppy in a bright red bandana. I want that look I know I'd get if I started seizing in the middle of Walmart, but for no reason. A halo of faces that just want to help, dripping with concern as they piece together the plan, a eulogy minus death plus balloons. I miss getting stickers. I miss second grade sick days and people running when I scraped my knees. I'm not convinced I'm damaged to miss these things. I felt damaged in the city when I'd come home at night, tired, oily, all covered in the world. Coughing, car horns, my building super calling another guy a cunt on the sidewalk. I prefer to believe there's somewhere better I was meant to be born. Some gummy thumbsucker world, a quilted, trashless warmth that lasts forever, where there's always a hug when you need it. When I was little, my mom would enter my room and turn a key in the butt of a little stuffed sheep that played You Are My Sunshine over and over, slower and slower till it would stop. And I'd lie there the whole time, frozen in fear in the dark as the song petered out, wanting to cry at how temporary it was.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It was awesome.